Thank you. So, Helen has helped us consider the brothers in the story, and we are now going to have a look at Joseph and what God wants to teach us through him. So, some of you may be really familiar with Joseph. You've known this for many, many years, this story. But I tell you, over the last couple of weeks, I have been seeing Joseph in a whole different way than I had before. In fact, I've been seeing a lot of ways in which Joseph is foreshadowing Jesus. Now, some of you may ask, what does foreshadowing mean? Well, to help us understand what that word foreshadow means, let's have a look at this picture. And I don't know if any of the boys and girls, or adults, or anyone, can tell me what you see. A shadow of a person riding a cow, maybe. Any other suggestions? Whoa, right. Someone knows this very well. So, exactly right. It's a picture of Scooby-Doo. I'm very impressed. I thought someone would just say a shadow of someone. But yeah, you didn't see exactly who it was, but from the shadow, you could guess, some of you perfectly, who it was, but some of you roughly. And that's what foreshadowing is, when we see a shadow or a glimpse of something before we actually see it, like a shadow coming around the corner. And in the Old Testament in the Bible, which is where Joseph and his family are, we see glimpses or shadows of Jesus in these stories. And what I'd like to do just for the next few minutes is to have a little bit of a look at Joseph and compare him to Jesus and see what we can understand about Joseph's life and Jesus' life as well. So, Joseph to Jesus. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a look through the story. So the first thing that we see about Joseph was that he was dearly loved by his father. It says that in verse 3. But we also see at Jesus' baptism that it was said that he was dearly loved by God the Father, his heavenly Father. And so then what we see is we heard that Joseph was given dreams about his life going forward. Maybe you can remember in the Nativity story that some shepherds had a vision of an angel saying, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Both Joseph and Jesus had things said about their future from God, about God's plan for them at a young age. Next, when Joseph told his family about the dreams, what did they do? They didn't like him, and his dad, Jacob, told him off. But then the Bible says something quite interesting. It says that Jacob kept the dreams in his mind. He pondered what they might mean. And that, to me, is really striking. It's a striking resemblance to Jesus' mum, Mary, when she had the shepherds come to her after the angels had sung and spoken to the shepherds. The Bible says that she kept the words said about Jesus in her mind and pondered them. Then, in verse 14, we read that Joseph was sent by his father to look for his family, who might have been a bit lost or at least were quite a distance away. And we know that Jesus was also sent by his father to go and save, to look for and then save God's family who were lost. Now, as Joseph got to his brothers, in verses 18 and 20, the story tells us that Joseph was rejected and despised by his family. They wanted nothing to do with him, and they wanted to kill him. And in the same way, Jesus was rejected and despised by his own brothers and his mother, and also God's family to the Israelites. Next, Joseph was then thrown into a pit by his brothers who were out to kill him. And Jesus was thrown to the pit of the Romans who would eventually go and kill him. And that was by someone who he would have called a brother in Judas. Did you notice that Joseph's brothers got 20 silver pieces for selling him? That's a typical price for a slave, I understand, in that age. And it was his brother Judas idea to sell him. And you might remember that Jesus was also betrayed for silver too, 30 pieces for him, being sold to the Jewish leaders by his close friend Judas. Even their names, Judah and Judas, are very similar. We didn't ask you, but you might have noticed that Joseph, after he came to the brothers, he didn't say anything. He was silent. Despite all that was going on, we don't hear a word from Joseph. And Jesus was also silent in front of his accusers after he had been arrested. Now, there's an interesting thing in verse 31 for those who've got your Bibles in front of you. But it says that the brothers dipped Joseph's coat in the blood of a goat. Now, in a couple of minutes, we'll consider more about what that coat means. But in Revelation 19, verse 13, when speaking about Jesus, it says, he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. It's the exact same words used to describe both Joseph and Jesus' coat, dipped in blood, or another translation is sprinkled with blood. And then what happened to Joseph's dad, Jacob? Well, when he heard the news and he thought that Joseph was dead, he was distraught. He was significantly hurt and suffering. How about Jesus' father, his heavenly father, God? There's a well-known hymn that goes, the father turned his face away. And I don't believe that that's actually what the Bible says, but I can well imagine that God, the father, was hurt to the core and suffering as Jesus was suffering and dying on the cross. But what do we actually learn from all these similarities? Apart from the fact it's cool, I find it quite interesting. Because there has to be something that this means. We learn that Joseph's life, and particularly his suffering, is in the Bible to show us that God is in charge of all things, even the bad things or the things that we don't understand. Joseph had no idea what God was doing to him. But, spoiler alert for those of you who don't know, it all works out well in the end. In fact, it all works out so much better than Joseph or we could ever have imagined for Joseph and his family. And why is that? It's because God was in charge. We also see this in Jesus' life. He endured a lot of suffering so that God's biggest plan could be completed. Jesus was willing to submit to God being in charge, even though it caused him hurt. Also, Joseph's foreshadowing of Jesus shows us that God's plan of saving us is through Jesus and his death. It was not an afterthought, but it was very much God's original plan. Joseph shows Jesus' shadow, like that Scooby-Doo shadow, before we see Jesus himself. And over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at the fact that Joseph's life was planned out by God, and that the bad things in his life were used for good. In Genesis 50, verse 20, we've seen this slide a few times now. At the end of the story of Joseph, Joseph says, "You planned to harm me, but God meant this for good." And that's not just about Joseph alone either. Jesus' life and death was planned by God, and for good too. And after Jesus died and was resurrected, and then he ascended to God, one of Jesus' disciples, Peter, said in Acts chapter 2, "This man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, that's the Israelites, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Praise the Lord. But what a man planning, what man planned for evil in killing Jesus, God planned for our good. His plan is better than ours. And I wonder, are you willing to trust God with his plan for your life, even in the midst of suffering and confusion, things you do not understand? Now, maybe the boys and girls can help me here. Who might wear this kind of clothing? Give me a shout. At the back. A builder, yeah, a builder, construction worker, someone who needs to have their head protected, yeah. How about the next one? Who might wear this? Yeah, do you guys in the middle? A doctor, yeah, or a nurse, or maybe a vet, or a midwife. There's loads of people who might wear clothes like this. How about this next one? I'll wave it more. Grant, Mike's telling me to point forward. Who might wear this? Well, it does look a little bit like a policeman. Any other ideas? Yeah. A what? A cook? Maybe. Any other thoughts? You're at the back over there? A pilot, yeah. I think this probably is a really cool-looking pilot, at least. I don't know if they all look like this. How about this? Who might wear this?
A farmer.
A farmer, that's a good shout. Yeah, a farmer, a gardener. Somebody's going to get dirty, yeah? And this one, who might wear this? It's a bit weird-looking, isn't it? At the back. Sorry. A judge, I think I heard say. Yeah, a judge. Maybe a lawyer, if you want to look a bit weird. But yeah, a judge. And I wonder, does anyone know who might wear this kind of coat? Apart from me, can you think, is it someone who's going to be doing gardening? No. Is it someone who might be helping the sick? No, the hospitals wouldn't like that. So imagine the infection control problems. How about a pilot trying to fly a plane? I don't really know how pilots fly planes, but imagine that this might get in the way of lots of buttons that they've got. The Bible describes Joseph's coat as an ornate robe, which is often thought as a multicolored or technical dream coat, and that's how I remember it when I was a kid. But it could also mean a coat of big sleeves, apparently. And a coat with really big sleeves isn't very good at doing physical labor. I mean, it's not very good for me trying to look at my notes at the moment, but it's not going to help you if you're doing gardening or anything like that. And when you think about Joseph, who was wearing this coat, he wouldn't have been able to be doing the work with the sheep. He wouldn't be able to feed the sheep, or he would imagine pulling a sheep out a ditch or something like that. He's not going to want to get his coat dirty, is he? And so it was Joseph wearing this coat. It was a sign saying that he didn't want to do the dirty work, that his brothers had to do the hard work. The coat was a sign of importance and authority, even if I do look a bit silly wearing it right now. But I tell you, there's someone who has an even better robe than this, even better than Joseph's robe as well, can you imagine? He's a king and is dressed in beauty and splendor. But instead of choosing to continue to look cool, to wear this coat, to look stunning in his beautiful clothes, he chose to take off this beautiful coat, came down to earth to do the dirty work. He came to be our shepherd and to clean us up, to take us out of the ditch. There's a story in John chapter 13 where Jesus came and he washed his disciples' feet. And Peter was horrified at the thought that the king was going to wash his feet. But in that action of washing the dirtiest part of the body at the time, Jesus took off his glorious coat to clean us up because he loves us. There's a beautiful bit later on in the Bible in Philippians where it says, Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus didn't just come down to slum it with us, to get dirty with us. He actually came down and died for us. And a few minutes ago, I said that both Joseph's and Jesus' coats were dipped in blood. But the blood they were dipped in was very different. Joseph's coat was stained by the blood of a goat, but Jesus' blood was stained by his very own blood. And he voluntarily bled that for you and me. We learned earlier that God's plan was for Jesus to go to the cross and to die. And Jesus knew that in coming to the earth, that he was meant to go to the cross and die. And yet he chose the cross. And he did it not with resentment or anger, but in love for us, persistently going to the cross. Jesus went to the cross, and he took off his coat, took off his beautiful robes, and he laid them at the foot of a cross, dying on the cross for you and I. What beautiful humility that is. But why, you might ask, and if you're asking that question, then you're asking the right question. Because he loves you, and he loves me so much. He loves us so much that he's willing to put aside all his power, all his peace, all his authority, all his perfection. He loves you so much that he wants to give us a chance to experience that peace, that pleasure, that perfection that he has set aside for us. And why did Jesus need to go to the cross? Well, it's because we're all broken, aren't we? We all do and say and think things that are not right. We sin and we dirty our clothes. It leaves a mark that we cannot remove. But in Jesus' death, he took all that dirt on himself. The blood on the robe symbolizes that. And we are now cleaned from that dirt, from that sin. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." When we choose to believe and trust in what Jesus has done for us, then God gives us new clothes. He welcomes us into his family, and he dresses us in his royal robes that we don't deserve. You get to wear the clothes of a perfect king. That's how God sees you. And I wonder, do you see yourself like that? Do you see yourself as a perfect king in his clothes? If you believed in Jesus, then maybe you need to see yourself more in the way that God sees you. Or maybe you've stopped wearing the clothes that he gave you. You're trying to put back on those dirty clothes that we all, the dirty stained clothes of your past. And I tell you, it doesn't suit you. It's not what we're meant to be wearing. In a moment, we'll sing a couple of songs of reflection and praise to God. During that time, I'd encourage you to consider what Jesus has done for us and what clothes you want to wear. But maybe you haven't chosen to take off your clothes. You've not chosen to take off the dirty clothes. You have not chosen yet to believe and trust in Jesus. He's got something so beautiful for you. He's done something for you that'll take that dirt, that sin, that guilt away. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Joseph, for his life, and for how he helps us to see Jesus. We also thank you for Jesus, for how he humbled himself, took off his beautiful robe, getting his own blood on it in the process. And he chose the cross so that we could be made clean by his death. Lord, I don't think I get the full depth of that. I don't think we do here today. So help us to get that more. Help us to understand that. Father, help us to let go of our dirty and stained clothes and help us to wear the beautiful clothes that you have given us. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.